Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Drum. Stones, better than Pavarotti.
You know, even our kids sing the AIM song. I mean, even people all over the world sing the AIM song. I was in other countries, and people from those countries singing the AIM song, singing other Indian songs too, mostly Lakota song. You'd be surprised how many people know Lakota songs around the world. Some of them don't do it right, you know, but a lot of them are pretty good at even pronunciation or something, you know. I mean, I don't get mad at it, you know. People, oh, they're stealing our language. When they steal something, that means you don't have it no more, right? Right? So if you still have it, they ain't stealing nothing, you know. I mean, I agree with you. I don't like to see our culture exploited and all that, but I don't go all overboard and start making up a bunch of baloney, you know, like a bunch of damn kids or stingy or naweezy people, you know. We can't be that way. We got to have class all the time. 100% of the time, we got to live with class. So conduct yourself in the best way you can. You know, don't get all like, what's he got that aim patch on for? You know? you see that they got feathers. Well, let me tell you something. If you get up off your behind and go around the world and travel, you will see a lot of countries use feathers. In Eastern Russia, Mongolia, them, how they wear feathers. They raise eagles. Eagles is golden eagles. Eagles are Wakan all over, you know. But over here, it's just like you don't realize that they make tortillas all over the world. They make burritos all over the world. They ain't just over here. Other countries been making tortillas for thousands of years, you know, since they first learned how to use flour. See, I seen some people in different parts of Russia. Man, they make tortillas, big, giant tortillas, you know. And, yeah, I was amazed. I seen these Russian women making tortillas. I says, where'd you learn that from? They do it all the time, you know. They have little, like, they don't have, like, fast food places, but they have stands where you order stuff to eat. They be making tortillas right there. But what my point is, you know, before you jump and get all fired up about something, you have to understand, we ain't the only ones on earth. We ain't the only ones that have a certain way of life, you know. I mean, even language. Well, one thing I'm proud of is the Lakota language is a unique language that isn't contaminated by any other culture. You know, like German and English, they sound pretty much alike, you know. I mean, not really, but, you know, the words, you know, like friend, you say frund, or, you know, night, you say nacht, you know, guten nacht, guten, good, you know. And Russian, they say noche. For night, in Spanish, you say noche, the same thing, you know. So all those countries, all them languages are mixed up with each other. And that's how you can tell our language is unique. So you know we didn't come from someplace 10 and 20,000 years ago. We were created right here. You know, there's all kinds of common sense. You know, when people say, oh, you guys just came here 20,000, even Indians say that. Yeah, we came here 20,000 years ago. One time some Indians were talking to Washington, D.C., and some Lakota, some Si-Chunk who were there. I was all proud because they were talking. And there he just ruined it. He said, yeah, and we were here 10,000 years before you. Si-Chunk who said that? I said, damn, who the hell raised this guy? You know? I mean, even Indians think we came from China. Because they rub its shoulders with the Washitu so much, they don't even know their own culture. You know, there's one video that came on. I seen it on Facebook where they're, and that's a good video. They're talking, they're showing guys dancing and talking about, yeah, we didn't come here 20,000 years ago. We came like 100,000 years ago. They still put a time limit. 100,000 years means that's only, what, 1,000 grandpas ago, you know? Or 10,000 grandpas ago. I go by, you know, in the old days, we lived a long life. So it's normal for a man to be 100 years old, so a grandpa is 100 years old. So 10,000 years, that's only 100 grandpas ago, you know? 100 grandpas ago or 1,000 grandpas ago. See, my math is all screwed up. But anyway, you get my drift, right? You know, we ain't going to learn a new language in 10,000 years. And we ain't going to forget somebody else's language in 10,000 years. Our language, our Lakota language, was created when we were created, you know. And where were we created, right? Well, we came from the stars. They say we came from the stars. We showed up on this earth. There's creation songs talk about the light, the fire, and how man was created. You know, first the rock came, then fire and lightning, and that was the Lakota. And, you know, so we showed up here in the beginning of time. In the beginning of time, you know. So some people need to use their common sense, especially when they start listening to the Washitu and the Washitu, especially when people Google. Oh, do your research, man. You ain't doing your research. I see them fighting over it. As a matter of fact, the other day, last week, I got into it with somebody, and, man, he tore my shirt off complaining, you know, Facebook. I had to block him, you know. He got all of my case. All I said was, don't believe it, all that Google research, because he was talking about how this tribe, the Aztecs were killing this tribe, and this tribe was killing that tribe, and all this. And, you know, I don't believe that. The reason why I don't believe it, because normally, naturally, we are friendly with each other. Whenever I go to other countries, I've been down to Mexico. Those Mexicans treat me pretty good, feed me. No, nobody says, hey, what the F you doing here in my land? You know, it ain't like that. Been to South America, same way, treat it good. And the thing about it, when you're indigenous, you can go to any indigenous country and you ain't out of place. You look like the rest of them. You even run across people that looks like the rest of them, you know what I mean? It's a trip. You right away, you go over to their places and you're hanging out, and right away you notice, you ride in, you look like the rest of them, you know? But, and that's the other thing. Our continents were swarming with indigenous people before the Washitu came. And in some of the continents down south, what they call South America, didn't get hit as bad as we got hit. So there's millions of indigenous down south. So here's my other point. Now, in 10,000 years, if we showed up like they did on the Mayflower, how could we multiply that much? You know, I know the Washichu multiply because they're inbred. You know, most of them showed up on the Mayflower. They started inbreeding. And even Columbus and all those guys. I mean, I don't know if a sheep could have a human baby, but I know they're in the bestiality too, you know. You know, sound like I'm picking on them or what, you know. Not picking on them. I'm just giving you some history, common sense here, you know. Just like they say the horses, the Spaniards brought the horse. Now, how stupid is that? If you don't know nothing about horses, yeah, of course you will believe that. But when you start learning about horses and know about horses, you will realize there's no way you can show up and have 10 million horses show up in a couple hundred years, you know. And you can't haul horses across the ocean without 5 shipfuls of hay and water. Horses drink a lot of water and a lot of hay. So how many horses could they put on one ship for it to show up healthy on this side? In other words, they ain't got enough room. So the point is, horses were already here. Yeah, I give them credit. You brought a few breed of horses over here. But when you start telling our people that the Spaniards brought the horses and we came here 10,000 years ago, and you're Indian and you start believing that stuff because you like to do your research, you know, get the hell out of here with that crap. Anyway, I'm taking time here away from you, and you know, because I wanted to talk about I know we're going to talk about a few things, and I wanted to touch on a few issues. But first, let me see if I see One Leg, and I mean Tahashi here. Where's Tahashi? Did he show up yet? Oh, there he is.
There the elephant.
We got a few people on the lines here, so I was trying to find you mixed in, you know.
I'm here.
Pretty good though. Anyway, I better let you take over right now so we can, you know, start out right, because I got carried away, you know. I started getting carried away, and you got to slap me to shut me up. Go ahead. Why not?
Oh, why not? We'll say a prayer and we'll get started. Agalihu yampun kumbo kirat hanka elkin ichap hankasla. Natu ptekte. Wota ke ni traki lenat hankasla unshisha. Poi yampun kum no kiki hokum piet hankasla. Ekchau yu chashana. Akantu yu chashayun chapun kut hankasla. Kaki shen koyim. Tuini katia. Pamu el kish nest hankasla. Nish nala woke. Okihu yampun kum. Stamu shlan kihon unket hankasla. Tokata ke we chosani. Wola kotak. Now I can't like it, Hukasla. Now I can't like it. Now you're going on going on Glenn Hukasla. Yohila left at which hoaxil. Yeah, Ushinkilon at Hukasla. A wong like it was in Kupi at Hukasla. Hukaska Tibelian coggle and is a hochi monikar upset to Lena Yohila. You will take it. I caught the only on Glenn Yohila. You are Ushinkilon, which was on you. Ukihu Yopi at Hukasla. Ushika Pelot Hukash, Ushinki Lapo, how many takias?
Oh, still. always like to hear the prayers, you know, Lakota prayers, and you hear him, you know, talking about, you know, Unshila, we chose on the, these words are special, you know, for our house. And, you know, the word pity, you know, when we say pitiful, we don't mean it like Washichu. We mean humble, like, you know, we're common, simple people. You know, we're not arrogant and all of this stuff. So, you know, when we pray in Lakota, he's praying as a humble man, and he prays for our people as humble people, and we pray for health and peace and all these good things. We never pray for, hey, help us go kick their ass over there. You know, I was reading some comments on, the president or vice president Kamala made a big old, oh, we're gonna charge Russia with war crimes or crimes against humanity. Well, what the hell? Who are they to talk about crimes of humanity when we got Wounded Knee, Sand Creek, May Lai massacre, and all kinds of things they did, even recently with their drones killing kids in school buses and stuff. You know, who the hell are they to talk about, oh, we're going to, you know, who are they? And then you got black people and white people and all them. Hold on now. You guys are, let me see. Who are they to do this stuff? You know what I mean? We, first of all, they there to get it straight. Who is a war criminal and crimes against humanity? Who's the leader of that except the feral invasive species that came across that ocean and started killing everything in the way, who, you know, before they want to start calling other people. And then there's another country over there. I won't say their name. You know, I got friends that, you know, I got friends in all races and all places, you know, so I hate to offend people. But speaking of countries and stuff, there's countries over there just like America bombing pitiful people that fight back with slingshots, you know?
Yeah.
And they're the ones crying about who is a terrorist and all that. And they got jets and nuclear weapons, just like the U.S. shooting down balloons with military jets. They even shot down some hobbyists, some school students' balloons. They went berserk with their shooting the balloons down. You know, that one over the lake, Great Lakes or something, that wasn't even a Chinese balloon. That was some young college people had a balloon going. You know, they're just shooting everything out of the sky trying to look like they're tough, you know. If they want to be tough, go over there and do that over there and see what happens. If they're so damn tough, take their military jets over there and start bombing China and Russia and see what the hell happens. They won't do it because they know better. But they'll shoot a little old innocent balloon down out of the sky, because what can that balloon do? Except blow up. You can pop a balloon with a needle, with a dart, you know. Or maybe that balloon's got stronger material, so you can use a 4th of July fireworks to take it down, but not a military jet with military missiles. They like to show off. Anyway, I want to kind of move on a little bit, and then we can discuss whatever. But Tahashi, you know,
yeah.
I was reading about these Navajos, you know. They were wondering how come parents, like a mother and father, both speak in Navajo, why their kids ain't speaking Navajo. Now, I know why, because both are our my parents spoke Lakota. Problem was, and my mother explained it, you know, and I hate to talk about our personal life on over here, but to be truthful, you know, the reason was, you know, they got beat up and so bad over talking the language that
yep.
they, you know, they talked English at the house.
Yep.
So we all picked up English. You know what I mean?
You
so,
know, you know,
and one time, yeah. hold on now, one time I had a bro was talking about this in the South, him and his woman, right on the res, mind you. They both live on the res, and their daughter don't talk Lakota, but they both speak Lakota. And we had a conversation. I was sitting at the table with them, and I said, you know, and the bro said he felt bad that his daughter didn't speak it. But, you know, I know for a fact, you know, that usually the mothers are the teachers. You know, men are always gone. My dad spoke Lakota, but he's gone all day long. You know, he's working. We're spending time with our mother and other people speaking English. Well, on yep. the res, they're doing that. They're speaking English to their kids
yep.
instead of speaking, you know, instead of speaking the language. And I know that because I have, you know, I have two children that speak their mother's language, you know, and the mothers speak the language, you know. So yeah, I do know history, and I do know that the invasive species, the sparrow, Washichu, are over here, and they're here to create mischief and trouble. And they can't think of no other way to survive except causing trouble. So I do know that much about history. So if you go into, you know, you want to go out and check it out right now, you know, don't come around talking about you're a Bible thumping Christian or whatever, and all you want is trouble. Because over here, I don't go over no place else and start trouble. I don't go on other Facebook pages looking for trouble. I don't go hunt down radio shows to look for trouble. There's only one group of people that do that, and that's those feral invasive species. They're the only ones that do that. The only ones. They come over looking for trouble. And then they got nerve to call you cowards and all kinds of names, you know, because they don't know. That's all they know is trouble. Anyway, I'm going to turn some lines on, but ain't going to worry about those invasive feral species. But I do know mm-hmm. that they floated in on the Mayflower, and they inbred each other. That's why they have a screwed up brain. You know, they don't know how to act. And
you know,
but we were talking about why don't kids speak the language, and I was explaining you know, why they don't.
You know,
go ahead, Tushy.
It goes back to what you're talking about. See, the beatings that we took in these boarding schools. Now look at where their kids are going to school. You know, are they teaching them Navajo? See, and I heard that they did. And if that's the case, you know, they were bragging about the Navajos were bragging about how their kids went from first to about sixth grade, or preschool to sixth grade, to where they talked nothing but Navajo. Then after that, it was English. Whatever happened to that? See, these invasive species, that's the only thing that that they're teaching them in these schools. See, they don't get paid. These schools don't get paid to teach the Lakota language or any kind of traditional language. They're paid to teach English. All cost, they'll teach you English. They don't care how it's done. See, look at all these things that they have. Yeah.
The only way to learn the language is at home. Schools going to teach you the language. You learn it at home from your mom, your grandmas, and your family. That's where you learn it. And if you're at home and you both speak the language, but you're talking English in front of your kids, you know, I tell my daughter and my son and them, you talk to your mother in her language. You talk to them. Don't talk English to them. Because once you learn English, you don't learn nothing else.
Yep.
Nothing else. You don't learn nothing else. And, you know, once you, and that's all you want is trouble. I'm just laughing because there's somebody there's, you know, I don't know, but, the co-host needs to go over there and, you know, take care of business. But I don't want to give somebody the time of day when they ain't worth it, because you know what? They like trouble. That's all they're good for. And, but the other thing is, you know, the only way you can learn a language, you got to have learned from right there at home. And Navajos must be losing it because, you know, I've been around Navajo Reservation for, you know, my nephew married a Navajo, you know, I kind of fiddled around down that way. Don't ask me why, but I was down there. Sheila was leading me around, you know. but you know, I've been around, and I tell you what, they were good at speaking their language, but their newer generation, just like us, they're talking English. Now, I wish they would teach the language first, because once you learn English, you don't learn nothing else. It's really hard, because that's what happened to me. You know, they took me away from the language and on relocation, and we went back to to California, and nothing but English. So next thing, I start forgetting the language, right? And to get back into the language was harder than hell. I'm really happy that for some reason I came back home to the res and started, being in ceremonies, sweats, Sundance, and all this, and I started relearning, but I'm still really, really weak in that area. And that's why I say, once you get corrupted and contaminated with that English language, it's hard. Your kids ain't gonna learn it. So don't contaminate them. The minute they come back from school and walk in that door, talk to them in your language. And when they start talking English, tell them, hey, no, you touch the language. Because I know this for a reason. It's like I was saying, both my younger kids speak their mother's language. You know? And how is that? It's because they talk their language to them. You know? If you don't talk the language to them, they're not going to learn it. And women are really powerful teachers. They're really powerful in their teaching. And it's really important for the kids to learn the language from the mothers, because women have so much feelings inside of them. And when they express love in the language, it really means something. It's just like if they get upset, they can sure make you feel bad. You know, the language, you know. We, even though we don't have no cuss words or none of that vulgarity like English, you know. But you see what I'm saying? So I wish I could talk to them or share something with them. But, you know, on Facebook, I'm not going to go over there and give them some input, because like I said, they'll tear my shirt off and throw me out of there. Come back with only looking like alley-oop all tore up after they the hell out of me for going over there to their page, you know. So I don't go on other people's profiles, and I don't like to comment or something, because, man, people, if I say the wrong thing, they're on my case, you know. And especially young people, they don't know how to take it. All they know is, it's like I was telling this guy when he was talking about their culture fighting each other. I said, they got that from the Washichu, invasive species, when they came. I said, what kind of character do you have? Is your character naturally friendly, peaceful, or what? What kind of character you have? Well, he showed me what character he had. He cussed me out and ran me out. So I know that was a Spaniard in him. You know what I mean? That was a Spaniard in him, because indigenous people, wherever we go, we get along with them. If you see another Indian at the airport, hey, bro, where are you from? You know? Or you're in a restaurant, you know, you go to a restaurant and you see some Indians pulling, right away they all start sitting together. They don't even know each other. But that's how we are. We're not hateful and like they say, oh, you guys are savages. You're killing each other before we came. I don't believe that. Because we get along with each other all the time. And I know Tahashi knows that, because, you know, we sometimes, you go travel around, there's people that are fortunate to travel. And I tell people, if you get a chance, you know, like you went to, Hawaii. Remember, you went to Hawaii, remember? And you met people over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how were they to you, those Hawaiians, the real Hawaiians?
The real Hawaiians were real kind, nice people, especially when they found out you was Native American. They treated you with a lot of respect. Yeah, they called you. No matter where you went, they called me Uncle. You know, hey Uncle, how you know? I mean. Nothing but respect from those people when they found out when they knew I was Indian. See, and even coming back, flying back, they took me from a class and they put me into the first class compartment. You know, they stuck me up to the front of the plane where, you know, they had all this fancy stuff. That's how those people over there, because they own the airlines. That's how they treated me, because they found out I was a Lakota from South Dakota. Man, they had nothing but respect for Native people. So you think about all these Native people in these places like that, Maoris. And, you know, I have a buddy up there in Maori country there that You probably know that guy, Tanashi Chingy, that one in Pine Ridge there. Well, he used to be like a guy named
Mario. He's from New Zealand. Yeah. Mario, they're from New Zealand.
Okay, but he's got a buddy named Tuiatama. But I guess he's back in the Maori country over there. He's kind of like a king now, you know. And me and him was talking one time, and I asked him, and he said, I said, if you go over, he said, he'll take good care of you, you know. But he said his people were way different than, you know. But see, the thing about the way they treat Native Americans, no matter where you go, is with respect. And the best thing for you to do is conduct yourself with respect. And like you were saying, you see some of these guys who from these other countries parading around like they're big chiefs and stuff, you know. To me, that's, you know, you're fooling them. You shouldn't do that. You know, exchange Sasha. Be exchange Sasha, you know. And be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And don't play it up. You know, and as long as you do that, those people, those natives are real kind of native people, you know. And that's why we say we're all native people. We're Lakotas. We're all Lakota people. And we got to start learning how to treat each other like that. The United States government did a good job of divide and conquer amongst all of us. Nowadays, you got Navajos hating on Apaches hating on Lakotas hating on Rosebud hating on Shan River, you know. So, you know, I mean, what is that about?
And this family hating on that family?
Yeah.
You know?
It's you know, that's what she's thinking, see? That's not Lakota thinking. And that's why I say the language. Because it's a sacred language. You know,
I moved a trader house right here in St. Francis over here on Rosebud Rest. I hauled a trader house of a woman, you know, trouble. She had problems. So I hauled a trader house, helped her. She got a place in town. And I pulled in there with the trader house, and there all the neighbors jumped out. Hey, we don't want you here. Who said you can come here? I was thinking, wow, what kind of Lakotas are these, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's 2000, you know, this, that's how much the Washitu has an influence on our people. Really bad.
Yep.
Really
yep.
bad. They have a big influence on how we treat each other, how we dress, how we conduct ourselves, and using vulgarity. Like, there's a picture of these girls wearing ribbon dresses, and one of them looks like about 9 years old, and they're all looking at Mount Rushmore flipping the bird.
Yeah, I see.
I understand the resentment of Mount Rushmore just like they do, but that Washitu vulgarity does not fit in with our women, with our grandmas, our mothers. You know, what does that middle finger stand for? Do I need to explain it? You know, when you give the middle finger, that middle finger stands for a pecker. I'll just say it. And those two on the side stand for the testicles. You know? So why are you, that's what it stands for. Do they know that? Are they just, but, you know, it became so common that I see kids in school flipping each other off.
Yep.
And, you know, flipping people the bird is a very dangerous thing. This woman was driving down the freeway in California. Some guy cut her off, so she flipped him the bird. So the guy whipped out a gun and shot up her car and killed her kid. You know, that's how serious people take that flipping the bird. You flip somebody the bird, they might chop your, you know. I remember my grandson flipped me the bird, and everybody thought it was funny. I grabbed his middle finger, and I almost broke it. I said, you ever do that again, I'll chop it off. He started, and I let him go. But you see, we can't have our people following this path of vulgarity that the Washitu has. But you see, we're picking up all these ugly things that the white man does to express himself, the F word, the all this vulgarity. And when it really looks bad, maybe I'm just a machoistic, or I don't know that big fancy word, person, but I don't like to see our women acting like that. My mother, my grandma, they didn't even know what flipping the bird was. You know? I mean, even my dad, the worst word I ever heard him say was, "God damn it," you know? I never heard him saying the F word or all these back in my days. But suddenly this F word and all this bitch and all this ugly other words start popping in, and they're using them left and right like it means nothing. And, you know, women are sacred. They give birth. They bring life. They're special. They give milk to our babies. Like I said, they're the teachers. They teach the language. They teach everything. And the men take over, you know. We all have our places. I'm not saying the men aren't teachers. We are teachers too, you know, and we do the best we can. But like in our case, my dad was work all day long. But he's Lakota speaking. When he got home, him and my mom, they just talk Lakota. But all day long, we're at school hearing English. And, you know, and my mom even told me, she said, you know, the boarding schools really messed it up, where she was scared that we would go through that kind of problem. You know, it was pretty bad. But my mother, you know, she knew, and she started teaching us and reteaching us. And my sisters, they're all younger than us. They all learned a lot of culture from my mom. You know, beading. They all of them dance, jingle dress, or whatever. Even my niece, she never been on the res, but she plays a hand drum and sings in Lakota. I was really impressed with that, you know. And they got all this stuff from my mom. And women are sacred, and they don't look good flipping people the bird. They don't look good smoking a cigarette. They don't look good drinking, you know. I was watching this Washichu woman put her boyfriend in a suitcase and zipped him up in there and cussed him out. Anyway, they found him dead. And she said, "Yeah, we had a couple glasses of wine." You know, like to us, when we drink wine, you're a wino. But, you know, to Washichu are the biggest alcoholics on earth. "Oh, we had a glass of wine. We had a glass of champagne," you know. And, you know, they don't think nothing of it. But that's some wicked stuff. But what I'm saying is our people don't match this. We don't match doing all this stuff. You know, it doesn't look good. If I showed up down your house, Toshi, me and my brother, we showed up, and here you whipped out some scotch and tonic and all that for me and my brother, you know. "Well, I hate to see your house at the end of the night. You did that." we'd have tore that house up, me and my brother, you know. that ain't all. We'd be going down the streets. You know, but you see, that's what I don't like to see. And I know women get mad. They jump on my case. But I'm just telling like it is. You know, the women I recall in my life were not like that. You know, I mean, could you imagine your mother flipping the bird, any of you guys? Or am I on the air or what?
Yeah, I could. You know what? My mom was doing it, so yeah.
That wouldn't look good.
That's a new modern mentality.
What's that?
It wouldn't look good. It don't fit, right? Your mother.
No, it doesn't even look feminine.
Your mother.
That's not even feminine. That's a masculine move.
Yeah, but even a man to do that, an indigenous man, that don't look right, you know? But, of course, we mixed in, rub shoulders with the Wasichu so much. We do everything like they do. You know, even me, I have to watch my mouth, you know? Because vulgarity slip out of my mouth, you know, and I have to watch myself. And I don't want the kids, the younger people, learning that stuff from me, you know. But
they already learned it.
That goes way back too. You know, like the Australians, they give up two fingers, or the English give up two fingers. You know, we give the bird most commonly. Years ago, people just used to use two fingers, the index and middle. They would throw that up in the air to show that they haven't had their fingers cut off as punishment. So that was like showing them that they had two fingers of freedom, because you can't live without your index and middle finger.
Yeah, but the flipping the bird means something else. That middle finger means a pecker. That means a penis.
Okay.
And those two side fingers, when you do it like that, those are the testicles. The testicles and the penis. And that's what, in other words, you're waving your stuff at them when you do that. That's intended to say, that means like, suck my blah, blah, blah. That's what that means. That's a pure, vulgar, provocative way to, to present yourself. If you get mad at somebody, flip them the bird. Good hate, good, you know, that's how the Wasichu is. That's why they
only
do
a colonial
that.
Would do that.
But wait a minute. Now they got us doing that. You see? They got our kids doing that.
That's where that term settler colonialism comes in.
But you see,
go ahead.
I don't understand that word colonialism. You know, a lot of words I'm not too hip to. But you see, because I'm an uneducated Indian. You know, but I go by my life, living, born on the Indian reservation, living around Indian women, Lakota women. Living around, you know, and I'm an old guy, born in the 50s, the beginning of the 50s. So, you know, I lived all through the 50s with Lakotas and those people that never used this language and never used flip to bird. or even smoked pot. There was no pot. Nobody smoked pot. Our medicine men didn't use that stuff. They didn't smoke it. Now they're trying to use it in ceremonies and stuff. You see, the culture nowadays got away from us. So here's some young women wearing ribbon dresses, trying to look traditional, but flipping the bird like a white man. No, that ain't right. That's like me holding a chanupa in my left hand and flipping the bird with my right hand. I don't know. Tanshi, what do you think?
Well, like I say, you know, that and today's day and age, like me and Tanshi Larry was talking about this. You know, look at how I think we discussed this before, Tanshi. Look at how these kids nowadays meet each other. When the minute they see each other, right away they say, you know, F you, you know, how you doing? You know, F her, how you doing? Or women today greet each other with, you know, the biatch, you know?
But, yeah.
You know, when we was growing up, when we was young, I remember a time when our grandmas and our grandpas, our moms and dads, when they greeted each other, they hugged each other and cried with each other. And like my question to my dad one time was, why do you guys do that? And he told me, he said, you know, he said, it's better to cry tears of happiness than tears of sadness. He said, what if my friend went around the corner and I never seen him again? He said, I'm happy to see him. That's why I cry with him. And that made a lot of sense to me back in the day. And as time went along, it disappeared. Today, all these, what this guy called colonialism or whatever it's called. Look at our kids. Look at all these young kids now. Look at how they greet each other. Compared to how our fathers, our grandfathers, our grandmas met each other, greeted each other, compared to today. How many years was that, Hanshi? That's only 50, 60 years ago.
Yep.
Look at how far we've come in 50, 60 years. Look at how much hatred that we possess amongst our people, like you was talking about. You drug a trailer to a community. And the first thing is, we don't want you here, all this other. What happened to compassion? What happened to caring? What happened to this mitaki we asked?
To welcoming your own people?
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, we're all related by blood, and they're telling their own blood family, who said you can come move here, you know? That's really made me feel bad. That hurt my feelings.
Back in the day, when somebody needed help, all the people got together. I remember even in marriages, when they got married, people built the couple a house. They celebrated and built them a house and gave them a start. Now look at what's going on, you know? It's a man, in 50, 60 years, I'd say 50 years. Jesus, look at how corrupt everything is now. You know, it's sad.
Josh,
it's really sad.
Let me, you know, because Philip's on there and
go ahead, let him talk.
Wayne, and no, you're missing my point here. What I'm saying is, here we are, this radio program, blog radio, represents the American Indian Movement. And the American Indian Movement has even turned woke.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Because these people think that because they're the American Indian Movement and they put an aim patch on, now they're supposed to look tough. Now they're supposed to flip the bird to people. Now they're supposed to show weapons. Now they're supposed to, what happened to the Chanupa?
Yep.
You know, what happened to the Ta Chanupa?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to this? Instead of that, we're going to show a gun. Instead of that, we're going to try to wear some sunglasses so no one sees your damn face. Wear a bandana. You know, Lakotas, Indians, natives have beautiful hair. Why do you want to cover it for? Nice eyes. Why do you want to wear shades? What are you ashamed of what you look like? I see one guy wearing a bandana all the way to his eyebrows, and then wearing a mask up to his nose. He just had a slit. He looked like an armored truck, you know? Just a couple holes to shoot out of, you know? we're supposed to. Ain't you proud of how? That's what I mentioned, Philip. When I look at Philip, You know, he lives in Cleveland. When I see Philip, I see an indigenous Indian man. I even see a Lakota when I talk to him because, you know, we all look alike, and he looks just like another Lakota. And I've never seen Philip in a with a vulgar attitude. Never. He don't have it in him. You know, some people don't have it in them. And some people got it in us. I might be one of them. But we have to take notice of what bad habits we picked up. You know?
You got it in you.
Yeah. But you see, and Philip's one person, but I'm glad he's here because he's an example of what I'm talking about. And there's other ones that I know that are like this. But then when you see these ones, man, you look, the minute they think they're, especially some of these AIM chapters, you know, they get a new guy in AIM. A guy joins AIM, never been Indian in his life, but suddenly joined AIM. So got 50 AIM patches on him, wearing that French cap they wear, that French beret they wear, thinking that's AIM. You know, they look like a French painter or something. And all this stupid stuff. You know, when the American Indian Movement first started, you look at those guys in Wounded Knee. They didn't have all these AIM patches. They didn't have all these fancy hats and stuff. You know, they were wearing raggedy clothes like we do all the time, you know, and they just had AIM painted on their back or something like that, you know, and they didn't have all this. And the other thing was they weren't all into vulgarity like the ones now, these young AIM kids. And now, so they got like that so bad. So now when they want to fight physically with somebody, they say, where's AIM at? Like we're supposed to go help them fight. We ain't here to carry a sword. We're here to carry the chanupa, to the chanchega, the drum. That's what we're here. That's what the American Indian Movement went to town with. When they went to Minneapolis to defend the indigenous, those Indians in Minneapolis from those cops that were killing them and beating them and all that, they didn't go to Minneapolis with guns. They went with a drum and the pipe and spirituality. And they walked through that town with that drum. And all these city Indians never seen that. They were all ashamed to even see Indian before. You know? But the American Indian Movement, that's how it started and got everybody proud to sing on a drum. And they started turning this spirituality. And most of them started coming to Lakota Sundance. And, of course, Crow Dog blessed the American Indian Movement. You know, they gave them Opage, Dennis Banks and them, and Crow Dog gave them, you know, that's why the American Indian Movement has a chanupa. Yeah. I seen Clyde having it, you know, but I don't see them using it like the way Lakotas use it, you know. Well, we have a chanupa. We take that chanupa with us to places, you know. But like it's just like some kind of symbol or something for them, for people. But I'm not bragging. But Lakota, look at this. That chanupa. Chanchega and these feathers we wear, and the women, you know, their dresses in a sacred way. And when you have these sacred things on, you better not try to mix that in with Washichu vulgarity, alcohol, drugs, violence, and all of that. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Tashi, what are you so quiet about?
No, I was telling Tashi about, you know, like how American Indian Movement first started. It was a bunch before. It wasn't even American Indian Movement, but it was a bunch of women that went into Dick Wilson's office and threw him out of office, saying they didn't need his leadership.
Yeah.
But that's how American Indian Movement, before American Indian Movement was in American Indian Movement, that's how it started. It was a bunch of old ladies.
Yeah.
And
look at, what's her name? Moose Caps. What's her name?
Yeah.
Moose Cap. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember her.
Edna, Two Dogs. There's a bunch of them. What the heck's her name? Lou Bean. There's quite a few of them. Agnes Lamont. Gladys Bissonnette.
What's that Moose Cap's name? Not Dickie's mom. Dickie's mom's Esther.
Alan Moose Cap. Alan.
Oh, Alan Moose Cap. Yeah.
And Lucille Lilly.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them that went in there and grabbed Dick Wilson and took him out of office, saying that he was a piss poor leader and they didn't want him anymore. And that's what fired up all these guys. So you know, that's what brought people together was those women. You know, the men couldn't do nothing, but it was those women that did it. See? Women started it. But those are things that people have a tendency to forget.
But the men had the drum. And, you know, like in them days, it was Ted Seaver, you know, Dennis. Yeah. And Dennis Banks was running with them. Dennis Banks was running with them. And that's why Dennis took them to Minneapolis. They all went to Minneapolis, too, when the cops were doing all this to the Indians over there. And before this happened, people were in the cities were ashamed to be Indian. They wouldn't claim. That's what I was talking about, Robbie Robertson. He didn't even want to claim he was Indian, claim he was white, you know. A lot of these Indians were claiming Washichu and all that, you know.
Yep.
And but you know, and some of them could get away with it, but you know, like me and my brother, we couldn't get away. Well, we lived in a house with, you know, Lakota house. So even in the city, you know, we lived in a Lakota world. Gabubu bread, Taniga, you know.
Yeah.
We're good, you know. But you see, and that's how the American Indian Movement started, because these people, Alan Moose Camp and all these women, they were traditional women.
Right?
Yeah, they were traditional women. They had they were in the sun dances, you know, traditional spiritual Lakota way, and the drum, you know, and you know, the drum and all that. They took that to town. Up there in Minneapolis, and they said people, and even in L.A., in San Francisco, in the parks, wherever Lakota showed up, he wasn't scared to sing on a drum, or even if it was a trash can, they would get out there and sing, you know, in the parks and stuff when they got together. And that's how the American Indian Movement was known for, the drum. The pipe, the chanupa, the you know, the spirituality, you know. But nowadays, what is it? It's about vulgarity, wearing a French hat, you know, being Nauisi. Hey, who said you could wear that aim patch? Who said you can do that? Who gave you rights to do that? They're all screwed up. if you're an Indian, if you're Native Indigenous in the American Indian movement, you know, if you, you know, if they, if you're into our way of life, that's what you are. No one needs to come up and pin a American medal on you. That's what a patch is. American stuff. Even that flag is American stuff. We have a staff. Lakota, we had staff. But now, look at, we're wearing patches, you know? I don't want, I mean, I'm proud of wearing an AIM t-shirt or stuff like that, you know? But I don't get off in all this wearing 50 AIM patches all over my elbow and knees and shoulders and, you know, and then wearing sunglasses and wearing a French hat, you know? Hell no. I mean, you know, the American Indian movement is more solid than that. It was meant to be solid, hardcore spirituality, indigenous people, indigenous nations. Not trouble, but that's how we went with the, you know, and it was built on that, you know, and it started out like that. And hopefully, I know that there's some Amsters that still believe that way, you know. And I was really proud when they buried Crow Dog. They put the A flag on him, you know, on them. And they took him up there. He's got a buffalo robe and AIM flag wrapped around, you know. And, you know, because he gave blessings to the American Indian movement and that Chanupa. So it's really important for the American Indian movement to try and hold on to these ways. You know what I mean? And we need to try, you know, I would like to see it. It will never happen. If we're too far gone, looks like. But I would like to see people have a more respect for our indigenous culture than they do. When you have a chanupa on you, when you have a drum, when you have feathers, you earn from some way. Don't mix that with alcohol, vulgarity, hate, naweezy, you know, and all these things. Lakota, and you heard Toshi just said, Echewi Chasha, we're simple, common people, common man. But really try to overdo it, man. They really try to overdo it. I liked it when I seen the American Indian Movement in Standing Rock when I first went there. You know, these young kids walking, singing songs, Lakota songs, you know, Oma Kiayo, all these sacred songs. And proud of that. And I was proud when I seen the other tribes show up and sing their songs. I was proud when the Aztecas showed up dancing. I was really proud when they came in those Lakota horses and they were the horses were even dancing. You know? I was really proud of this stuff. And that's the kind of pride we need to have. You know, anybody can run around and look tough. But I would like to see our people more proud of their indigenous beauty, their indigenous good looks, than to hide all this behind some sunglasses, you know, all the stuff they do have, you know. It just don't match. But I see them out there. Can't tell them nothing. They
nope,
think that's what they got to look like.
I was just going to say that. You can't tell them a damn thing. They think they know it all. And I'll tell you where a lot of this comes from, too, is because they've romanticized AIM in their heads. You know, all this, the mask stuff started happening when Standing Rock happened.
Yeah.
And they were posting pictures of themselves with masks on. And I'm like, I got on some of them on their pages, on their posts for that. Why do you have a mask on? You need to take that mask off. Be proud of what you're doing and who you are. And right away, they come right back at me. Well, you're not here. You don't have to smell gas. You know what? I joined the Marine Corps. I was in a gas room. That's part of the damn training. Take the damn mask off, Howard. Then walking around with guns, they see pictures from Wounded Knee, and they think that's what we are.
Philip, the other thing that had a big influence on the youth and some people were, is when Al-Qaeda showed up covering their face up. Our people are so easily influenced by weird stuff. They started, like you said, trying to look like Al-Qaeda. And then now they're trying to look like MS-13, putting tattoos all on their faces. They're so easily influenced by outside things like the black ghetto culture. They got influenced with that, you know? I mean, our people are so easily influenced to copy, imitate something else than realize God gave us beautiful features, native indigenous features, hair, eyes. We're not white. We're not black. We have our own beauty. And I wish our people would flaunt that more instead of showing up with their little blonde streaks up in their hair, their turquoise color here. One Indian guy even painted his goatee turquoise. Did you see that? He's a musician,
no.
Indian musician. Yeah, he's an Indian musician. He has a goatee like and painted that turquoise or light blue. It looks crazy as hell, you know. And all this, they think they gotta look like that to be somebody.
But it's the same thing with the berets.
Said,
when the berets came around, you know, when that came around, Che Guevara went and took that look from the French, from the French Revolution, because the French were wearing berets. So when he went on his movement of freedom, he started wearing it. And then everybody started wearing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not wearing that. I told the brown berets in a meeting, I'm not wearing that.
I couldn't understand why they...
And they took offense to it. I'm like, you take offense to it all you want. The fact of the matter is, you say you're brown berets, you're Latin people, or whatever you want to claim you are, you need to do something different. All of our peoples here had their own style of headdresses. Why not wear that? Be proud of who you are. Not go walk around with a French beret.
The only thing I ever seen Vimber wearing on his head was feathers. I never seen him with nothing else on. My brother the same way. And I never wear a hat.
Yeah.
I take that back when I'm freezing, when it's snowing stuff, I cover my head or something. You know, I'll wear something over my head when I have to, you know. Or like if it was really sunny or something like that, or some kind of condition, but not just to run around and look tough, you know? And, you know, I had some prescription sunglasses. I lost them, but I only wear them when I'm driving west when the sun's coming down, you know? But, man, you know, some people, they got to imitate everything and everybody. And now, like I said, I sit at the store. When my family goes into the store and goes shopping or whatever they do, I sit in the car because I don't like hanging out in the store. But I sit out there and gawk. And I watch all this stuff going on and I say, damn. You know, that's why, you know, I appreciate, you know, like Philip and Toshi, my brother. I mean, you look at, you, if you see us in person, you'll know what I'm saying. You know, you ain't going to see all this imitating somebody else. Member looks like member. My brother looks like my brother. And me, how you met me, Philip, is how I've been. Even when I used to do rock and roll concerts, I was dressed the same damn way, you know? And you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, to be carrying yourself, especially when you're 30, 40, 50 years old, dyeing your hair and still trying to look like somebody you're not, or like you brought up Che Guevara, trying to look like Che Guevara. There is only one Che Guevara, you know? And that guy lived and died the way he lived, you know? And nobody could be like him, you know? And there's people like that, you know? Nobody could be like that, you know? And Wakan Tonka gave us all our own way. And that's what we should be proud of. We don't need to imitate no Washichu. We don't need to imitate, you know, it's just like some of these young kids, they want to be black artists. And they want to do rap or hip-hop. Okay, go ahead and do it. But why do you got to look like them to do that? Why do you got to prance around on the stage to do that? You know, why? I told one, I said, you know, you do some good rhymes and all that. Why do you got to imitate? He said, do I do that? I said, yeah, you sure in the hell do. You know, you're a good-looking Dakota man. Why don't you be proud of that? You know, but people are not. They like lost their indigenous pride. They want to look like some other culture. They want to look like something else. We need to be proud of who we are. And I, you know, like I look at Bimber's kids, all his kids, all his boys look the same. You know, his daughters, all his children. You know, they're beautiful. Bimber's got beautiful kids, and they all sung that. And I respect that. That's a hell of a legacy to have, you know, to your kids following your way, you know, and living this way. And life is hard. So I respect that. And, you know, when it's hard raising kids. It's hard, everything we do, when you got all these outside influences, you know? You look out, go to the city, walk down, you know, walk around and see the other cultures. When you go, like I was in Sioux Falls, I seen some Indian guys hanging out with some black guys. The black guys weren't looking like Indian guys. The Indian guys were looking like the black guys. What's it with that? And then you see, you go to another part of town, you see Indians running with white guys, and they got their hair to be like the white guys, even a little blonde up there. What's with that? you know. But yet, you go to other countries and you see those people trying to look like Indians, you know. I think we're a better influence when they're trying to imitate us than us imitating them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, and I respect that better, you know. I respect our influence better. Tosh,
hey,
what
Richard,
do you think?
Richard,
yeah.
There's a video going around on Facebook. Did you see that one where that I think it's French people that are talking some kind of language. I think it's Cree or something. But the Washita dude was really talking fluently to these news reporters. I don't know what he's saying, but I think it was Cree that he was talking. You know, and he was.
I'm gonna go look. I'm cool. I'm like...
But he was talking fluently. And if a Washita guy could do that, you know. And look like they were all dressed as Indians. These are Washitas. And they're imitating us in these other places, looking cool. And here we are trying to be dressed like Washitas and look cool. You know, like you were saying, these berets, these cowboy hats, and all this other stuff that's going on. Berets, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, you know. But, you know, Indians are beautiful people. And I, you know, look at some of these young guys now, all bald-headed, you know, shaving their heads, you know, and they got no excuse for that. Back in the day in school, when we ran away from school, that's what they did to us. They shaved our heads to prove a point that we were runaways, see? They branded us with bald heads, see, because we was runaway students. Nowadays, it's shit. These guys are doing that. See?
It's a style.
It's a style now, you know. And back in the day, they shamed us by doing that to us. And you know, we liked our hair even back then. But we couldn't use it because it was a form of punishment by the Washitas. And now it's kind of accepted.
They made us cut our hair before. I remember those days. Wherever you went, the first place they put you was a barber shop.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, these Indians today, they shouldn't do that stuff.
Yeah, they don't have to go to a barber shop. Don't even need a barber shop nowadays. See, when I was young, you couldn't even go to school with long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to have your hair cut. If your hair was below certain part of the back of your neck, they would make you cut it. Any school, you know?
Yep.
Now, just to be in school. That's why we had to be in barbers.
Yeah.
That's why I got a picture of me I think on Facebook and back one of my kids' pictures. I had a flat top. A flat top and fenders.
You know, airport.
I look like a aircraft carrier. big flat on the top and the side had all the issues, you know.
He was like radars.
Yeah. Had radars and guns and missiles sticking out, you know. But the top was pure flat, you know. I looked like a walking aircraft carrier. You know, but those days faded away, you know. And we should appreciate that. Our Lakota men should appreciate that instead of running around with their hair shaved off. Back in the day, we had no choice. They had us slapped on the barber chair in school, wherever we went, you know.
Yeah.
And now they don't have to do that. they yep. don't have to do that, but they're shaving their head off, doing all painting it blonde, painting it turquoise, all this kind of stuff, you know. I mean,
you know, punchy eyes put your beard purple.
Yeah,
in protest, dye your beard purple, Constance.
I should paint it lime green. That really stands out. Lime green. And dye my eyebrows red, you know.
Stop sign red.
Yeah. And a purple mustache. That'll look cooler than hell.
Yeah, there you go, man.
And we're a bull's ring in my nose. One of the bulls, that big round ring.
Yeah. And they got these things that they do nowadays. They change their eye color. They have these, I don't know what the heck they are, contact lenses or something. The kids are doing that.
I seen Indians having blue eyes and gray eyes and stuff doing
yeah,
that. Indian kids.
Yep. You know, shameful as hell. But to me, you know, that's taking it too far. You know, we're trying to be something that we ain't. That's the problem. You know, it's getting to be a big problem everywhere. When you look, that's what I was saying. Look at all these, look at the way we're going today. Like you talked about. That Tachanupa, nobody, all these kids. Once they get a certain age, then all of a sudden, look at this chasing horse dude now. You know, they start playing with these things. They don't understand them. They know there's some there, but they play it instead of learning about it. They want to be it, see? And eventually it catches up to them. You know, that's what happens. If you exchange Tasha like me and you, come on, man, we can go a long way, you know? We could have that gray hair again and teach these kids. But the way things are going today, look at all that's going on. Like, all these kids want to be Washichu. And that's not the way to go. You know, in order for us to survive, we're going to have to change that.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, if they don't like long hair, that's up to them. But the point is to imitate somebody else's, the whole thing. They're all trying to imitate somebody, you know. Like the police, they're trying to have a high and tight because they want to have that military look, the SWAT team look, you know. And now, they're trying to, the police are trying to wear their shirt sleeves tight, you know, but it looks funny when you ain't got the shape for all that stuff, you know.
Gloves.
And then they're wearing that camouflage way too much, you know.
Yep.
This guy had camouflage pants on, and he had his pants blouse like the military does blouse.
Yeah,
and he had little teeny ankles, so it really looked funny, you know. It looked like chicken feet, you know. And that's the other thing. It's like people don't know what they look like to other people, you know. So you see a fat guy trying to wear tight pants to think it makes him look skinnier, you know.
Yeah.
One time I had on a striped T-shirt. And man, right around my belly, well, the stretch marks were way, the T-shirt stripes were way separated. You know, I look like And there was a green T-shirt. I started looking like a watermelon, one of those striped watermelons. I was really looking juicy, you know what I mean?
Like a watermelon.
But you see, I was aware of that. I looked in the mirror. I said, damn, I can't be wearing this. You know, and, you know, I mean, you look, you say, damn, you know, I better not wear this, you know. And sometimes men have women that help them out, you know. Men have women that help them out, you know. Like you have a woman that say, hon, please don't go outside dressed like that, you know. You know. You know what I mean? At least you got somebody to tell you, hey, hon, please don't look like that going out there. You need somebody to help you with the brakes. You know, that don't look good, you know. You know, because if you don't know it, somebody needs to help you out. So at least try to do it yourself rather than, hey, hon, don't go out looking like that. You know,
hey, those skinny pants that you're talking about, when you wear those, it makes it look like you have long feet too, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, skinny long feet. It takes your cooler neck. You know what?
The skinnier the pants, the longer your feet look. You know, and these kids nowadays do have big feet.
Yeah,
you know, for some reason, they have big feet when they wearing, you know, they were wearing those tight pants. And damn, look at the size of that kid's feet, man. You know, I know, like my feet ain't that damn big. You know, I wear size 8 shoes. What size you wear, Philip?
11 and a half.
Damn. Yearly wage.
don't wear skinny pants, Philip.
No.
Even my brother Larry, I don't know if he still has the same size feet. Maybe they grew, but maybe he'll share. What size feet shoes you wear, Larry, nowadays?
What size shoes?
Shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
What
big
size?
How are cool ones, he said.
Cowboy boots?
I didn't ask butt size. I asked what size feet size. He's a big one.
What is it, about 8?
No, 9.
He said he's got about 8 or 9.
Yeah, well, see, I was going to say that because I remember his feet were just barely up. I used to kind of sneak his shoes on. He used to wear cool shoes, so if he wasn't looking, I'd slap him on and go to school with him.
Inner brother sport.
Yeah. I'll be even. I he even wear cool socks. I slap his socks on too. You know, big brothers are the influence, you know. So if I was going to imitate anybody in life, it was my big brother. So, you know, if he wasn't looking, I'd even have his pants on, you know. But see, nowadays, like Phillip's, well, how tall are you? Philip is probably, what, 5'10"?
The tallest, because I'm getting older now, so when you get older, you actually shrink. But my tallest was 6 foot.
Oh,
wow.
6 foot. Yeah, you're kind of. So I guess them size 11 shoes fit you. How about you?
Yeah.
How about you, Wayne? What size shoes you wear since we're going public?
I wear moccasins now. I haven't actually used the actual Imperial System measure yet.
Okay. Well, how many inches long are they?
Again, I haven't used the Imperial System. You know, I'm back in my native ways.
How many yards are they?
Finger length.
Let's leave the inches out of
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
Getting really personal there.
Yeah. Well, we start talking about inches, man. It turned into something else. You know?
That's something else.
Yeah, you can't say 6 inches either because it makes you sound inferior. Remember when Subway first came out? When Subway first came out, I remember when Subway first went to Rapid City and Indians used to show up there, they'd say, "What size you want?" You know, and they kind of look at each other. I'll take the little one, the 6 inches, and then everybody would laugh, ha ha ha. You know, I mean, Indian couldn't even order at Subway with a straight face. You know, because if you say I want the 12-incher. I got one for you.
Only you.
Yeah. Right away gonna lie. I got one for you. You know, but yeah, Indians. But really, Indians. That's how we are. Naturally, we're kind of like things like that. Private things. We're kind of ashamed to go into that department, you know, and even you guys are showing it, you know, you don't want to tell the truth about what size you are, you know,
size 8
private.
Well, yeah. We're a size 8 shoe.
Yeah.
I was trying to get around to that.
Yeah. Well, I was size 8
like
shoe. How tall are you? Do you mind me asking you how tall you are?
I'm 5'6". I'm 5'6".
Oh, are you?
Yeah, so don't take my shoes when I come up to Pine Ridge, all right?
All right. Yeah. But to tell you the truth, I got lazy since I'm older. So I wear size 10s. That way I don't have to tie them. I just slip them on. You know, slip them off and off. You know,
I
wear slip on
the same thing.
Yeah, it's easier to slip on size 10s than size 8. So I wear slip ons. You know, and usually they're so long that the tips curl up like genie. So I look like I got genie shoes on. But being my age, I don't give a damn no more. You know what they look like. You know, as long as they feel good on me. You know, you know. That's the one good thing about being indigenous native. We don't have no peer pressure from everybody else. You know, like I noticed that when I was growing up, I could wear any kind of anything I wanted, but other cultures are stuck. You know, like Mexican had to dress like a Mexican, a white boy had to dress like a white boy, a Hossapa had to dress like a Hossapa, you know. But us, we could wear anything we wanted, you know. And there was no problem. There was no problem with that, you know. And plus, we could even look raggedy, you know. And it was no biggie.
Always,
you know. Yeah. If we had something nice on us, because we stole it. It's because we walked into Sears. We didn't have Walmart. We had J.C. Penney's and Sears. Walk in, slap that shirt on, and walk out. You know.
Be more. You know?
Walk in, slap them pants on, and walk out. You know. No shame.
got me some new jeans.
Yeah.
He got caught because he didn't take the tag off. You know.
Selfishness.
But that's the only way we was looking good going to school is if we stole it, you know. Otherwise, yeah. We got to wear what mom and dad got us, and what they got us wasn't in style. Let me tell you. If mom and dad got us something to wear to school, it damn sure wasn't in style, you know.
Yeah.
So.
If we was in style,
because we walked out of J.C. Penney's with it all, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But you know, I shouldn't talk like that because we weren't thieves. You know.
We were honest people.
Yeah, we were honest people. Yeah. God told me to put that shirt on and wear it out. A voice came in my ear and told me, put it on and walk out that door. You know. One time I tried that with a bottle of wine, and when I walked out the door and see my reflection in the window, that scared looking face, I turned around and put that bottle of wine back. Boy, I was walking out that door and glass window and seeing my face. Man, I look guilty as two left shoes, so I turned around and put it back, you know. I said, man, I can't do that. I don't know how people could do that. That's why if I want to take them, I just rather just outright rob it. You know?
I tried.
We went to junior high. Still with satin, a short dog.
Yeah.
I got one of those from the market.
Yeah.
Falls down. He hanged out there.
You bet.
Yeah.
He got me by the neck.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, Larry coming out the store looking sharp. I tell him, hey, bro, give me one too.
While
you're at it, get me one too, you know. You know, but the thing is, all our life it looks like we're always stuck being more humble than the other people, you know. Even when we had bikes, all the bike kids had nice Schwinn's and all that. Shit, my bike looked like a hyena, big front tire, a little bitty back tire, with a tore up seat. You know, the only thing I had up to date was some 8-hanger handlebars I stole. That's the only thing got me modern. You know, had some 8-hangers on it.
Most Indians, stealing wasn't in them. You know, I mean, we was always honest people. So you know, it's might have tried it a time or two, but it didn't fit us. You know what I mean? We weren't teaching enough to do that.
When you hit the door, you was too guilty, so you put it back. You know?
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. This man. You know,
I mean, you know, it just wasn't in our quota people, you know, speaking for myself, shit, I couldn't steal it. I mean, it didn't work for me at all. I was just too guilty. You know what I mean? It just didn't feel right when you're stealing something, you know. That's why I say I can't understand how these Washitas could steal everything, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another example, Tashi, of our whole makeup. That's why killing another human. I mean, we end up going to war and killing white people, but to kill our own kind, it wasn't in us. To beat up our own kind wasn't in us. To steal from one another wasn't in us. All these, we had so much shame that it wasn't in our nature. So when the Washitu says, oh, you're like that before we came, they're liars. Because we weren't. No, there was, we have so many things in our nature, our character, like them. They have incest. Us, to mess with our own sister or mother or like that, you know, how can they do that, you know? You know, like when I remember when they said, your sister's pretty, I go, yuck, you know? I mean, that's the kind of feelings we had for our sisters. That wasn't like we hated them or something, but it was like we didn't see that in them. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, and but those other races, those other cultures, man, they got problems. And you look at the news and all their habits they have, you know, it's really the things they do. Like you look on Yahoo, these women are in their 30s and 40s, movie stars and stuff, and they're taking pictures in their bikinis and showing off how they look, you know, and they're showing their behinds and saying, man, that's their poop shooter. Why are they showing that, you know? I mean, that's a poop shooter, regardless how you look at it, you know? You know, so it ain't nothing fantastic, you know, whether it's on J-Lo or what, it's still a poop shooter, you know?
We're starting to pay the price for that.
Yeah. But beauty to an indigenous person isn't that poop shooter or that. It's character.
Correct.
That's why when you see Indian men and Indian women, they'll say, what are you doing to that ugly guy? Or what are you doing to that ugly woman? Well, we don't see that. We just see somebody that's got good character, you know, or good, you know, good. We don't see it any other way like them. They're looking for the right shape. You look at those people and those dating things, what they're after. There's somebody with big, I don't know how many inch breasts, how much inch butt and all that stuff. And they have a specific and all that, but Indians, we never did judge by all that, you know. I mean, if Indians judge by looks, how Vember wouldn't even have a relationship. Well, me too, you know.
Look at that,
but look at that. We're judged by our character. That's why we have 50 women lined up in columns of two. So,
that's what it is.
We're judged by. Yeah, you're fifth in line, huh? For who, Vember or me?
Both. Both.
Right. either one. Huh? Either one.
Just kidding.
Yeah. 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
No, you're. I know. You guys are my heroes. I know that.
I know, but you made David Rimber's tail wag, you know.
See, that's really wag.
Yeah. His tail looks it went real slow, and then suddenly it whipped, you know. Yeah, but you know, anyway, you know, like, you know, I was tripping on this guy. He didn't want to get executed on death row, so this guy cut his own eyes out. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah,
I seen that. Cut his own eyes out. No, he don't. He's asking for clemency.
Yeah, you seen that?
Boy, yeah, I seen that.
Wouldn't do that.
Some black
dude. Well, you gotta
Texas.
Be nuts to do that. Real quick before we go, but you know, I was tripping on those New Mexico. They put an order to kill those feral cattle.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Man. Why don't they just give them to Indians? There's Indians in New Mexico. Tell them, hey, go get those cows. They'll go get them, you know, and eat them.
Yep.
But, no, they want to do like they went after that balloon. They want to send the missiles in to kill them cows.
Helicopters.
Yeah, helicopters and all the SWAT team and all that, you know. That's how they are. Just like when they couldn't feed all the chickens, they destroyed all the chickens. Those farmers, they slaughtered all them chickens rather than give them to people. Because they said they couldn't feed them, you know, or just give them away. You know,
terrible.
But that's how they are. And they call them those cattle feral. And I said, they're the ones that's feral. Feral invasive species, you know?
They're not pandemic. I don't
Anyway, you know, we're going to have to go right now. It's time to roll on out of here again. And I don't know about you, but it's all right. We had some unwanted visitor that came in and started calling us FBI informant and all kinds of stuff, you know.
Oh,
and
brother.
Calling us pig vomit. Calling us pig vomit. Calling us cowards and FBI informants. How? FBI don't want nothing to do with our ass except lock us up. You know, what the hell?
You got to do to us.
Shit. They don't even want us sitting at a table across from them, let alone be an informant, you know. They want to see us behind bars. But anyway, we're going to have to go. So, Tashi, take over, okay?
We're going to say a prayer and then we'll end the show.
And thank you guys for coming, Wayne, Philip, and Layla, and everybody. And, you know, and like I said, that same guy showed back up again. And, you know, I'm glad, you know, that Maria should watch for that guy, but I guess she knows how to block him now. So,
wow.
So, you know, and that kind of helps out. So you know how to work that administrator page, huh?
Yeah, I found it out. I banned him by ID, so
okay.
I banned him.
Well,
but
I'm
watching
that guy when he shows up. That guy started calling us FBI informant, pig vomit. Well, called us cowards.
I know.
He said every time I come on, you block me, cowards. Anyway,
he must use another ID then. Doksha. See you next weekend.
Doksha.
Doksha.
He kicks this off.
You guys have a prayer?
Yeah, we already got done, Philip.
Philip's on the other side. Where's Philip at?
Yeah.
I'm over here.
Wayne here. There you are.
Yeah.
Is that Tachi? Is your name Vember?
Yep.
Okay, so what state are you in?
I'm in California.
California? Okay. Ohio here. I live about 3 hours away from Philip.
Oh, okay. You're Philip's neighbor.
Yeah, on stolen land. We'll never get to the state back.
Isn't everybody?
Yeah, that's true. Isn't everybody?
Where's Wombly?
I don't know. He still hasn't come back to life. And I don't know what he's doing. Maybe his wife shut him off.
Whoa.
You guys are just ignoring. You guys are ignoring me. You know.
He came back to life.
You know.
I've heard enough of you.
Anyway, thank you guys for showing up and everything, and you know, and the voice is strong. That's why we have haters come. If it wasn't strong, the guy wouldn't waste his time. You know.
Yeah.
You know, we draw out the haters. So plus, there's other people tuned in, but they didn't want to talk, or either they're recording this or something. They don't need to record us. All they have to do is go in the archives and pull us out, you know. It's right there if they want to check us out, you know, or turn us in. They want to turn us in. Everything's right there. Yeah, he was on tonight. He was there earlier. That's why I said he was calling us FBI informant. He called us pig vomit. And he said, every time I come on, you block me, coward, he said. What is wrong with these Washita? Why? They're not wanted. Just go. I don't go over there. Do you go over there looking for them? I don't think none of you guys do.
No.
I don't go over there looking for them. I don't even care if they live. Why should I want to go listen to them for them? You know?
Yeah, so, hell with them. You know, they ain't important to me. You know, that's white privilege. That's what
anyway,
it is. They feel privileged.
You guys still there?
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more. to go home. Through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.